You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Is it too late in the process, though, to change that?
Nothing's too late, bro. Everything's made up in politics.
The Wire.
The coalition government has proposed a bill that would change the current processes around the fast-tracking of consents for developmental projects. The legislation would enable the ministers of transport, infrastructure, and regional development to approve consents for projects without going through the current considerations around community and local and regional government, existing legislation regarding Tiriti, and community participation. The bill would mean that the ministers could decide on projects that would then be sent to expert panel that would review their choices and apply any conditions before sending it back to ministers for final approval. This legislation would also allow ministers to veto any restrictions the expert panel places on the projects. Environmental activists have criticised the legislation as a potential avenue to undermine environmental considerations. I spoke to Professor Nicholas Lewis about the proposed changes, and I began by asking about the current processes for fast-tracking of consents.
Consenting generally for projects generally runs through processes associated with the RMA, and so that local participation considerations to do with Tiriti, the material that's included in the district plans and national policy statements and so on. The consents are considered in relation to all of those things. So the consent process can take a bit of time. There's an opportunity for a local engagement of one sort or another. Any application has to be considered in relation to those things that I just mentioned. There is a fast-track consenting process that was brought into play ostensibly to support a return to employment associated after COVID. So the previous Labor government did put in place a fast-track consenting process, but it looked a little different to the process that's now being proposed.
I just wanted to follow on with that by asking what this newly proposed consenting process would allow or enable ministers to do differently.
Well, currently ministers don't make the decisions around these things, even in the fast track consenting process. So it will allow ministers to make decisions, which is one significant change. It walks back the commitment to Tiriti to a commitment making decisions that are consistent with treaty settlements. So there's some significant issues to do with the wording associated with what happens there. Let's see, what exactly else does it do? It takes out of play a number of the kind of safeguards that lie in current legislation in a way that wasn't done under the last version of the fast track consenting. And so it's really the ministerial powers that is the crucial shift in between the two consenting processes, which allow the minister to override a whole range of legislative and established practices.
And in the article that you wrote for Newsroom, you wrote that centralising the power of consent into the hands of ministers strips power from communities and local and regional government and undermines commitments under existing legislation to Tiriti and community participation. What implications does this proposed new fast-track consenting have for our democratic processes?
It will take community voice and provisions of a set of legislation, plus the provisions that are put in place around local and regional planning, out of the equation when it comes to considering consent. So those become democratic implications. So public voice is reduced, planning regulations are moved past, and the minister or ministers are able to make decisions themselves on the basis of some expert panel recommendations. So in more generally, in terms of the constitutional structure of the country, ministers and cabinet have an enormous set of powers without many alternative institutional layers, as might be the case in other Westminster configurations. The regional and local planning processes, which do allow for community voice, put in place some checks and balances that are effectively taken away through this legislation.
I also wanted to ask about the environmental impact of this fast-tracking of consents. What do you foresee the impacts will be on our environment?
Well, it's difficult to tell exactly what the impacts will be, but the legislation makes it very clear that the entire purpose of the legislation is to fast-track consents that would otherwise be tangled up in a range of oppositional voices. And so that gives those concerned with the environmental impacts of any particular application reason for concern. There's no guarantee that this, you know, we can't just sit here and say that any decision that will be made will be bad for nature, but we are removing checks and balances that might make those decisions and those sets of concerns for the environment more prominent in the decision-making process. So it increases increases the risk of decisions that will have negative consequences on the environment. It increases the risk of making short-termist and bad decisions because the kinds of processes of scrutiny are cut back. And if you put that alongside the purpose of the legislation, which is to push through development processes past layers of objection, one can infer that concern for the impact on the environment is being weakened.
In the same piece you wrote for Newsroom, you spoke about New Zealand being or becoming a rentier economy. Could you elaborate a little bit more about that term, rentier economy, and how this legislation would enable that in New Zealand?
I guess the contribution that I was trying to make through that Newsroom article is to point to the beneficiaries of the new legislation. There's been a lot of critique from people much better at leveraging it than I am around the environmental impacts, and there's been some criticism around the democratic implications, and a number of people have put together quite effective critiques of the change, well, the difference between the two fast-track legislation. My contribution, I think, is to focus on the beneficiaries, and the beneficiaries of this change will be those who will be developers and landowners. The legislation is set up in order to deliver benefits to those groups. The issue for me is that we often, whenever we consider costs and benefits of these of development programs, whenever we think forward about our economy, we don't consider the question of economic rents. So the question of who benefits from the particular nature of our nature is one way of saying that. Who benefits from the great things about our nation? We're asked to believe that those benefits will trickle down from whatever kind of development is proposed. But we do have it in our power to try and ensure that those rents, the economic rents, i.e. the special premiums associated with the scarceness of our resources or with the monopoly control of those resources that comes through, for example, consenting processes, land ownership, and so on, that those special premiums somehow be returned to the national interest. Which raises questions of what the national interest actually is, and it raises some really fascinating questions of how to ensure that those benefits do return to the community and to the environment through various forms of rebel. My interest there is where do the benefits go, and if we don't intervene explicitly, we know where they will go. They will go to those who are powerful enough to get to the minister's door, and that I think is the crucial question around this consenting process, this new consenting process. And the worry is that in the way that the consenting process has been set up and the way in which it's been promoted by government, those beneficiaries are predetermined, and those beneficiaries involve those who own land, will be those who own land, those who seek to develop land, and the various lobby groups associated with that, so building owners, road users, infrastructure developers, energy groups, and so on. So it's a question of ensuring that any of these kinds of developments, particularly if they have negative environmental implications, those benefits go to the nation.
That was Professor Nicholas Lewis speaking about fast-tracking of consents.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.